What up, everyone? Derek Bros here. Another walk and talk. Back in Morelia. I'm gonna go this way, actually. Let's go this way. A little quieter over here. Sun's just coming out. Beautiful day. Hope you guys are doing well. I got a couple things to talk about today, but I mainly wanted to do this video because I need a little bit of a rest from writing. For those who follow my social media or who've been paying attention, you know that not only have I been in the process of writing and recording my debut album as 33, which is called Transmutation, but I've been in the process of writing an update to my book, How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State. Buenos dias. And that is taking up a lot of time. But I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, again, although I wear a lot of different hats and labels, I really, for the most part, would consider myself a journalist, of course, but more than that, even a writer of all kinds, a writer of documentary scripts, a writer of articles and essays and books, a writer of, all that. Got some more ideas in the future. So, writing is what I love to do, and that's also why I say that, like, although I do video reports and stuff, I always prefer and encourage people to read my work, because I think my written work is much better than my spoken on video work. Anyways, what am I rambling about today? I'm just walking around Morelia, enjoying the beautiful weather, and, killing some time before I start grinding and writing today. I am going to share with you the most important thing in this video I'm going to share with you today is about preparing for the digital ID reality. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. The social credit score apparatus, the all-pervasive police state, surveillance state, at least depending on where you live. Like where I live here, there's no cameras on every corner, every block. I mean, maybe some parts of town, but it's nowhere near like Houston, where I originally come from, or let's say like New York City or some other places like that, right? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about ideas and tips on what you can do, because, you know, the whole thing here is that if you see a train wreck ahead, you don't want to just sit quietly and patiently and obediently and wait for it to happen. Maybe you want to start thinking of an exit strategy. We're going to talk about that. But first, a couple of points. I want to remind everybody that the Greater Reset 4 co-creation is taking place in Morelia, Mexico, where I'm at. Actually, the venue is probably 20 minutes from here. Really beautiful. And Central Texas, Bastrop, Texas, with John Bush and his crew. We are going to be hosting this event January 18th to the 22nd in Texas, in Mexico. You can watch for free online, as always. You can organize a watch party and gather with your friends and family, your freedom cell. In fact, we hope you will. And the event is coming January 18th to 22nd, 2023. And we actually just recently announced some speakers in our speaker lineup. I think we've actually announced 15 speakers or so far. We've got some more coming. In fact, this week, Wednesday, I think, we will be announcing a new batch of speakers, like four or five. We're kind of announcing four or five, six speakers every week, depending on who we've got confirmed. And there's some other people who will probably be confirming later in the year, November, December, a little bit closer to the event. Either way, though, you're going to want to check out the lineup. Try not to run into shit on the road. You're going to want to check out the lineup at thegreaterreset.org. You can check out speakers. And the thing, I don't know if I've said this enough, but also on our website, you can go to replays. There's a page that says replays, and you can watch for free over 100 plus hours of solutions-focused talks at the Greater Reset website, where all the speakers from the Greater Reset 1 in January 2021, Greater Reset 2 in May 2021, and the Greater Reset 3 in January 2022, and another event John Bush organized, the D3 Tech Summit, Decentralized, Distributed, and Disruptive Tech Summit, all those videos are for free on our website. So really cool, thegreaterreset.org. Go there to check out our speakers for the next event and see the replays for the previous events. All solutions focused, no debates about politics or COVID or viruses or this and that. It's all solutions focused. So check that out. I just wanted to mention that again, because you can start, we're now selling tickets for the Texas event, and you can register for the Mexico event. Although we're not taking payments ahead of time in Mexico because we don't want to use the banking system, so you have to pay in person or pay crypto ahead of time if you want. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let me pull out my little note here and see what I wrote down. Oh, California law. Oh my God. Okay, here's an example as we prepare to talk about in a moment the digital ID, the technocracy reality. Here's an example of the kind of things that you want to get away from if you have the opportunity. California just passed the law, I'm sure some of you guys heard about it, which basically starts restricting the speech of doctors. It says that like a doctor can be disbarred and maybe even fined or jailed. I need to read the full text of the law. If they are promoting COVID-19 misinformation. And this means that even if a doctor, like, say, warns one of their patients that, hey, you could face some potential injuries from these shots, or, hey, they're not going to stop you from getting sick, or people have died from this, people have been injured, people have had, all kinds of different syndromes and things happening to them post-injection, right? If you are a doctor and you tell somebody that in California, based on this new law signed by Gavin Newsom, Governor Gavin Newsom, and tyrant over in California, think about that. You could lose your license to operate and practice, and maybe some people are like, well, who cares? Screw those doctors. They're just promoting allopathic medicine. Well, I mean, I think it applies more than just those general doctors, you know, allopathic doctors, and it applies to anybody who probably operates under a medical license, whatever their specific title is. I mean, that's crazy shit, guys. That's like pretty much, you know, I think it is a limitation of expression, of freedom of expression and freedom of speech. Doctors don't stop having a First Amendment right to freedom of speech simply because they are seeing a client or because a so-called pandemic has begun, right? They still have, or should, we believe, have the rights to express themselves and especially to their patients, give their patients warnings about, hey guys, I know you showed up today to take that bivalent booster vaccine that hasn't been tested on humans and has only been tested on 8 mice, but you know, I can't tell you if this is going to harm you or if it has harmed other people or if it's been tested adequately, because that's all COVID-19 misinformation, right? I mean, just think about that reality, how dangerous that is. And if this becomes a practice that is instituted in other states of the United States or other countries, I mean, it's pretty dangerous. Side note, you know, one of the things I've noticed over the years is that people in Mexico love putting clothes on their dogs. We're going to show you one. I'm going to walk this way. What is this? Check out this dog. Did you see him? He was wearing a t-shirt or a sweater or something. What's wrong with you people? Stop putting clothes on your dogs. Unless they're chihuahuas and they're really small and they get cold easy, I get it. Anyways, so I think that's worth noting. If you're in California, it's just another reason to get the fuck out of there. You know, a lot of people come into Texas and Florida, of course, from California. But in general, those kinds of plans, that idea of controlling, limiting speech, again, punishing people who are saying the wrong things, right? We've seen it over the last years in terms of all these awesome flowers. Really cool. Look at that. Very cool flowers. We've seen that over the last couple years in terms of if you didn't take the COVID shot, you couldn't travel, right? You couldn't work. You couldn't shop here. You couldn't do things like that, right? Well, now think about this. This is another form of social engineering, social punishment. You're saying the wrong things. You're thinking the wrong things. You're believing the wrong things. And you're a doctor. So we're going to take away your license. That sure is one way to get rid of all the potential good doctors out there who might speak up and say, hey, look, I'm going to use my credentials to ask tough questions. Like, nope, you say those things in California now, you're going to lose your license. You might even be punished, right? So, dangerous, dangerous move. But this is all part of the technocratic police state that they're erecting. In a technocracy, which is a rule by technology run by the experts, central planners, totalitarianism using technology, essentially, the trust the experts theme is key. And if you're not agreeing with the experts, even if you come from the so-called academia expert class, well, sorry, you're no longer one of us because you're not repeating the mantra. It's a dangerous place, guys. All right, one other update, and we're going to talk about digital IDs and this whole technocracy. What do I got here? Fluoride trial update. Now, 2 years ago, I was reporting on this huge trial, what I was calling the fluoride trial, the fluoride lawsuit, between the Fluoride Action Network, fluoridealert.org, the sun's coming out, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the U.S. EPA. And this was a historic trial for a number of reasons, namely because it is the first time that the evidence of fluoride's toxicity, hydrofluorosilicic acid, aka fluoride, the stuff they add to water in the United States and to the salt and a lot of other places in the world, is a dangerous toxin. And whatever slight benefits it has to your teeth, they're not coming from you swallowing it. And the risks outweigh those supposed small benefits, right? So I was covering this trial, and it was COVID time, so it was all Zoom. So I was just basically listening to the Zoom trial every day and like taking notes and writing articles for The Last American Vagabond. You can find those at The Last American Vagabond. I did a bunch of tweeting like every day, just kind of tweeting the whole trial. And it ended with basically the judge saying, I need more time. Let's delay this. Wait till this other study that supposedly, you know, that's coming along. It's been coming along for a couple of years now. Let's wait for this new study on fluoride to come out, and then I'll make a proper decision. So it pretty much just delayed things. Well, here we are, 2022, September, October, shit, and it still hasn't happened. So now the next hearing of the long-delayed trial hearings is coming on October 20th. And I'm going to be reporting on this hearing if it does indeed happen. I will tell you this, that the last two hearings have been delayed, kind of postponed again. So I won't be surprised if before the date reaches, there's another announcement about postponement of the hearing. And pretty much what's going on now at this point is the judge is still waiting to get like this latest environmental toxicology report. I can't remember the name of the report off the top of my head. It's all in my journalism from before. Anyways, they're still waiting on this new report, and the judge is kind of delaying it until that comes out. Now, the evidence that has already been presented in court has shown that fluoride's toxicity affects the IQ of children and affects the hip bone and thyroid and all pineal gland and all kinds of different areas of the body. And they've presented evidence from experts, you know, experts again, right? And they've also presented evidence of cover-ups of people within the different U.S. quote-unquote health agencies covering this up. And again, this is all in my reporting from a couple years ago. I'll link to it in the video description. By the way, you know, I always put the video links in the description, but it's not going to be all the links. It's just one single link. Click on that link, it'll take you to my website, and boom, there's all the links, just FYI. Either way, I'm going to be reporting on the fluoride trial if this next hearing happens, if some step happens. And it could be, honestly, it could be the end of water fluoridation in the United States. It's really hard to imagine that happening, which I think is why, like, the delays, they could be, you know, sort of trying to get the fix in, and somebody's going back and trying to make the science say that, oh, no, fluoride's fine, even though we've already heard more than enough evidence to convince any objective, critical-thinking person of the dangers of this toxin. All right. Check the note card one more time. California, fluoride, greater reset. Let's talk digital ID, guys. So first off, if you're unaware, I wrote a book called How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State in late 2019, and I published it January 31st, 2020. You can download this book for free at theconsciousresistance.com/how-to if you haven't checked it out. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm in the process of writing a post-COVID-1984 edition, which is including a new introduction, and a whole new section, a new third section. I'm going to keep the original, the book as it was originally written, so people can read it just like I wrote it before COVID, and then they can get to the new section, the third section, one of these, and they can see how so much of what I wrote about actually took place. Not a virus or anything like that, or pandemic, but just the idea of the growth of this facial recognition, the social credit score, and everything, right? It was all talked about in my book because I knew it was coming. I thought we had more time. In Mexico, dogs are the security kind of measure. You don't have cameras everywhere, you have dogs on top of houses and stuff. But I knew what was coming, and I talked about it because I could see what was happening, and I was trying to warn people in 2019, 2020. So now the new part of the book, these five new chapters, are basically going to say, hey, here's what we learned during COVID 1984. I was talking about freedom cells before COVID. Freedom cells grew and exponentially. I was talking about the idea of a counter-economy, agorism, people opting out of the system to avoid tyranny. And guess what? We saw fake vaccine passports and fake PCR tests and people moving states or moving countries to stay free. That's all counter-economic activity, whether you agree with them using fake cards or not. I don't know. I don't know if I do. But the fact is that it's still part of that activity. Anyway, so in 2020, we saw the growth of this counter-economic activity, the freedom cells, the whole network, everything I was writing about in my book, it came true. And that led to the book becoming very popular. And I decided now, because we're in the post-COVID 1984 world, we learned so much about facial recognition, we learned so much about social credit scores, about denying people jobs because of vaccine status and all these kinds of things. We learned, you know, a whole lot when you really think about it. And now I want to put all that knowledge gained into the next edition of this book. So what I want to share with you guys right now is an insight that I gained while I was writing yesterday, and I'm about to go get back to it and continue writing on this topic. But I realized that there are five specific areas, what I'm calling attack vectors, that the technocratic state, the predator class, is targeting. They might not even be consciously targeting these things. They could be. They might be. But it could just be a consequence of the overall Great Reset attack, Agenda 2030 technocracy. And the way they do that best is by attacking these five specific areas. At least that's what I'm coming up with. Maybe I'm wrong, right? Take this for what it's worth. But this is part of what's going to be in the new book. So I started to look at what people were sharing with me about the Freedom Cell Network as I was traveling for the Mexico activation tour and the U.S. activation tour and doing a lot of public speaking, and people saying, hey, I'm having this problem, or our Freedom Cell has this issue, or look at this amazing thing we did and how it worked, and maybe you can share this with other Freedom Cells, right? And I saw a lot of commonalities. I saw the same, like, areas where Freedom Cells were helping people, and through that I could see, wow, like, Freedom Cells are filling a specific need, which is also an area that's under attack by the technocratic state. Hopefully that makes sense. Sorry, I'm kind of trying to be observant of my environment and share this idea with you. So let's get into it. These are the five areas that I think you can right now start working to free yourself, to exit from the slavery systems and build or support better systems, right? Because if you wait too long, guys, the whole idea about this technocratic world they're creating, if you do wait too long, then maybe you won't own anything. Maybe you won't be you will be happy that way. Because you can't just sit here and be like, I know the banks are bad, I know they're building this surveillance state, but I'm going to hold on to it till the very last minute. I mean, you can do whatever you want. But in my view, the longer you delay the idea of getting out of their system, the harder it's going to be. Why not just start getting out now, especially if you're so deeply ingrained in these systems, guys? Like if you've got debt, credit card debt and bank accounts and 401k and a check on the banking system, if you're like totally ingrained and dependent on the system, this might be something you want to really start thinking about, right? Because you're not going to be able to get out of their system overnight. And let me tell you guys this, like, for those who know my work, again, I haven't had a relationship with the IRS for a long time. I haven't used a bank since 2008. And it's difficult out here without their systems. trying to avoid their systems. And I'm not saying I'm 100% out either. Like, I still have to use sort of like stop gaps and intermediaries like PayPal from time to time, because it's so hard to do so much of the things that have become normal in our world now without having a bank account, without having a credit card and those kinds of systems. And it's only going to get more difficult as time goes on. So that's my point, is you can wait to the end if you want, but it's going to be harder than it is now. You might as well start making moves and start exiting while you can. All right. So let's look at these five areas. First, one area that freedom cells really help people, and I think also an attack vector that the technocratic state is trying to employ, is community. Community, feeling that need for connection, for belonging, which so many people felt alone during COVID. People were feeling alone prior to COVID already. I mean, I've heard this for a decade now from all the events I've been doing, all the meetings I've been hosting. So many people have told me in Houston and all over the places I've been, I felt so alone before I found this community or before I woke up or whatever. So many people have been feeling alone for a long time. And then COVID came along. Lockdowns, very divisive opinions, and if you don't follow the narrative, then, you know, we're not going to talk to you. Families breaking up, relationships breaking up. It was a tough place to be. And freedom cells helped people find others in their local community. And again, it filled that need for belonging and for connection. Now, that is also, again, one of the areas that they're trying to attack people. I believe they're trying to attack people to make you feel isolated, to make you feel alone. And through that, make people maybe submit, right? Because after a while of feeling isolated and alone, and you're an anti-vaxxer and you're crazy, maybe you might say, you know what, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of feeling like just by myself and isolated and hated. I'm going to give in. That might happen for some people. They want you to feel isolated so they can break you down and take advantage of you. So freedom cells helps there. And also, this is something you need to work on, building a sense of community so that you don't end up isolated and alone. Not only just for the emotional boost of it, but also because none of us can truly face this on our own. The other thing is, let me see, the second one was schools. I'm just going to post up out here. I'm tired of walking around, so I'm going to do the rest of this video just chilling here. The other area is the schools, and specifically the kids. Their agenda is very much coming after the children, and freedom cells helped in this area as well. Part of the technocracy, part of the digital ID system they're building is about indoctrinating the kids as well, because they have to get the next generation to think these things are normal, right? And so many of us, older generations, people born, I think, before the internet, or who remember life before the internet was all consuming, we're pushing back against this, but they're going to try to indoctrinate the younger generations. How do you indoctrinate the younger generations? Obviously, pop culture, media, things like that. But the number one way you indoctrinate the generations, the public schooling systems, the indoctrination centers, right? And this is, again, another area where freedom cells have excelled and where you should focus. If you've got kids, start trying to figure out how to get them out of the mainstream education system. Like, look into homeschooling, unschooling, world schooling, forest schooling. These are all real things, and they're happening in different places around the world. People seeking alternative education for the children that is not based in Rockefeller eugenics education and indoctrination, and also pushing masks, pushing shots, because those things will come back. And again, they're also going, those are the places where the children are going to be indoctrinated into the Great Reset Agenda, Agenda 2030, save the planet and lose your freedoms, lose your privacy in the name of the planet. If they can't get us, they're going to try to convince the younger generations, and those younger generations will look at anybody older than them who doesn't get it as just out of touch, out of date, right? And maybe even the enemy now. It could get that bad. So the attack vector is the kids. The solution is freedom cells coming together with other parents. This is one of the examples I saw. Parents were coming together, like they met through the freedom cell telegrams or the freedom cells website, and then they would basically pool their resources and say, hey, let's get together, let's all hire a tutor instead of you doing it by yourself or me doing it by myself and struggling with our full-time jobs and all this. Let's come together, let's pool our resources, pay a teacher to teach the kids this, you know, amount of time throughout the week. And that can be some, like, you know, typical curriculum, but also it can be, again, the forest schooling, the unschooling, the world schooling, teaching kids through travel, through experience, through life, through living.
So that's the second area. They're trying to attack you by making you feel alone. They're trying to attack the kids by indoctrinating them through the schools and other ways. And freedom cells can help in both those areas. The third area, which is of utmost importance, is the food. They're trying to attack the supply chain, inflation on cost of food, making it difficult for individual farmers and private farmers to grow their own crops, trying to patent nature itself, right? There's so many different ways that we all know the food is under attack. And again, we saw during COVID 1984 that Freedom Cells offered a solution to this because people found each other through the website, and then they started building community gardens. They started local community-supported agriculture. Maybe they did backyard gardens, front yard gardens, or they learned about permaculture, right? This is the benefit of having community and having the Freedom Cells kind of the hub, the circle, the that structure together. And I've seen it working in real life. And so, look, they're trying to attack you in one area. You need to focus on strengthening that area, because COVID 1984 showed us that they're going to squeeze every weakness they can find and try to use it against you to make you comply. So your isolation, your loneliness, your kids, your food, fourth area, the banking system. And this is a big one that I'm writing about in the update. A lot of you have asked me for very specific information on how to stay unbanked, since I haven't used a bank since 2008. And I'm going to give you some detailed lists on what I do, how to prepare to become unbanked within 6 months to a year, if that's your goal. But again, this is obviously another big area of attack, because they're bringing in central bank digital currencies, and this is going to be where they can shut off your money if you don't say the right things, if you don't do the right things. Carbon credit wallets, digital dollars, social credit scores, that's all part tied into the banking system. And the U.S. government has just made announcements in the last week about exploring financial tools that can help out with climate change. So you see the intersection of the food, the climate, and the money coming together. This is why it's important to get off the big banks. Use credit unions as a stepping stone or some other method, which I'll share with you soon. But the point is, get off their banks, because if you go to the World Economic Forum's website, look at their partners, every single one of them is a bank that you're using. And that is going to be another weakness. We saw them shutting down people's bank accounts during COVID 1984. If you leave your money in there, you're bound to get screwed. One final thing would be, so your community, your loneliness, the kids, the food, the banking, and big tech. This entire system is built on big technology companies, Google specifically, and companies with ties to the U.S. intelligence community. And yet you continue to use their software. You continue to use their maps, their GPS, documents, their whatever you got. It's like you keep using those tools, knowing that those people are the very ones working to build the slavery systems. And that's what they are. They are slavery systems. Make no mistake. So we need to reconsider the relationship that we have with technology. Every one of us is going to make a different decision. You might drop off before, you know, after I do. I'm already trying to not use Google, not use Microsoft. Others of you might try to use these tools and the banks and depending on the grocery store and all that stuff to the very end. But I promise you, you are setting yourself up for failure, my friends. If you have the opportunity, start exiting from these systems now. This is what the book, How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State, is about. This is what agorism is about, counter-economics. This is what I've been promoting for the last 10 years, and most recently I've been calling it Exit and Build, the Exit and Build strategy. I encourage you to download my book, theconsciousresistance.com/how-to, and stay tuned for the upcoming update, 5 new chapters, new introduction, because there's no other way, guys. Their system is coming, and either you're going to be a part of it, or you're going to break free from it. So I hope you will make the right choice for your family and friends. Till next time, my friends, peace. Remember, you are powerful. You are beautiful, and you are free. Peace.